Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the 909 podcast. It's myself, Niall Byrne, and Andrea Cleary here. How are you doing? We are sweltering in the lovely August daytime sunshine at the moment in Dublin City, Ireland. And this episode is all about Beyoncé and Renaissance, the seventh studio album from Beyoncé that came out about 10 days ago. We've been taking some time with it and taking our time to feel out how we feel about it while we think about what Beyoncé is offering on Renaissance, how it stacks up in terms of her discography, how we feel about it personally, and how it's going to, I mean, as Beyoncé is the cultural force that she is, and pretty much pop culture stops when Beyoncé does something, how this will translate into the wider world of pop culture. Andrea, I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say about it, because last time we did talk very briefly last week about the album and our Best of the Month podcast. And you were not really 100% sure on it, but I'm definitely, as someone who has written a paper about Beyoncé in the past, I'm definitely interested to hear what you think about it now that you've had some time to sit with it, especially considering you really were not sure about the album.
My views on Beyoncé as an artist has gone through a bit of a renaissance. And not necessarily in a bad way, but I feel differently about her as an artist now than I might have in 2016 when Lemonade came out, which is her last album proper and was the album that I wrote about in that dissertation, particularly around her involvement with the Black Lives Matter movement. And been talking a lot with your friend and mine, Denise Chyla, around this album as well. We've been voice noting each other our reactions, and even we're chatting in the lead up to a coming out and chatting about Break My Soul. And I think the two of us have kind of similar issues with it and like similar things with it as well. So shout out to Denise, who has kind of also helped me, you know, talk through some of this stuff, because like I do love Beyoncé, and I've been a Beyoncé fan for, you know, 20 years. And it is interesting when an album comes out that maybe challenges how it is you listen to an artist's work and how much of it you need to park in order to enjoy it, how much of their celebrity impacts, and their wealth, certainly, which is something I'll talk about today, impacts your enjoyment of the work, and how much effort you might have to put in to separate all of those things. So yeah, I think Beyoncé is incredibly interesting in that way. So unsurprisingly, I will probably be giving a bit more of like the social or cultural side, or at least my take of that on this, and you are going to talk us through the samples and all of the different interpolations and sampling that she did on this record, which I think is a good spit.
So that's kind of your background for the album and what you're coming to it with. From my perspective, I guess, you know, I'm more interested in the phenomenon and I like some of the tracks. I think I've had a deeper association with Beyoncé since we started doing this podcast together, certainly talking about Beychella and all that kind of stuff. It's really deepened my understanding of her as an artist and her as one of the innovators. And I think Renaissance, of course, is an album that, if you've been listening to it, you will notice it is heavily inspired and takes from queer culture and more specifically ballroom culture as well. So there's a lot of references to that kind of, especially New York City kind of gay underground club culture of, you know, where there are houses and people vogue and pose and do dances against each other. She credits her uncle Johnny in the credits, a gay man she credits in the liner notes, actually, for who's also mentioned in the song Heated, Uncle Johnny Made My Dress.
Who's actually her cousin, but he went by Uncle Johnny.
Okay. So he was around in the early 90s and when they were children, and he passed from an AIDS-related illness in the late 90s. In the liner notes, she says about the album itself, because this is the most direct thing you're going to hear from Beyoncé herself about the album. This three-act project, now there has only been one act, so I presume, I have a feeling that one of these acts is going to be a visual thing, and I'm sure the kind of ballroom thing could be underscored in that way. Anyway, so she says, this three-act project was recorded over 3 years during the pandemic. Time to be still, but also time I found to be the most creative. Creating this album allowed me to a place to dream and to find escape during a scary time for the world. It allowed me to feel free and adventurous in a time when little else was moving. My intention was to create a safe place, a place without judgment, a place to be free of perfectionism and overthinking, a place to scream, release, feel freedom. It was a beautiful journey of exploration. I want to give a special thanks. So she starts thanking a lot of people and then says, big thank you to my uncle Johnny. He was my godmother and the first person to expose me to a lot of the music and culture to serve as inspiration with this album. Now, later on, we will be going through some of the samples because there's quite a lot of, especially particularly American house, Chicago house, Detroit techno kind of references, more Chicago and Miami stuff, really. And it's kind of like that's where house music started. That's often, in especially in American culture, doesn't really get its dues in terms of dance music and as a historical movement. And it is interesting that somebody like Beyoncé is exploring that. Now, there are questions obviously around that, the validity of it, whether somebody can actually do that and do it justice if, as a 40-year-old, you know, married woman who's a massive billionaire, as we discussed last week. So those are questions that are there, but
and as we will discuss today.
Yes, indeed. So
pre-warning.
So where do you want to go from there? I mean, you know, it's a
Well, I guess I'd like to know what your just sort of overall just what you think. I mean, do you like this album? I think we haven't really touched on that yet. Do you like it?
I do like the album. I do find the more I listen to it, the more I feel like I kind of wish it was actually just more of that one style, because I think what Beyoncé always does is she filters things into her own style. And what I love that it's, you know, designed to be made to listen to like a DJ mix, in the way that things are seamlessly transitioning into each other. But there's still some of those songs on the album that are like, oh yeah, this is the sunny pop song, which is like the track, Cuff It with Nile Rodgers on guitar.
Yeah, you know, it's one of my least favorites.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the lightest on the album. It's got the full, like, you don't even have to, I don't even have to play it for you, because you'll know when I say Nile Rodgers guitar what that sounds like, and you can pretty much hear it in your head before you. Sheila E. also from who's played with Prince a lot and an artist in her own right, also apparently is credited with percussion on that song. It's very much the big first, it's not a big pop moment, not the way, in the same way that on Kendrick's Mr. Morale, that song that you didn't like, comes in and you're like, oh yeah, this is the single or that has to be released for radio, you know? So,
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Because it's sort of, Cuffit sort of occupies a similar space on this album as that Kendrick Lamar song, which was
it's third one song, four in, I think, as well.
Four, yeah. But it's not the big radio play grab. It doesn't really sound like it belongs on the radio right now in the same way that Break My Soul or Alien Superstar or Summer Renaissance do feel like they are, you know, that they belong on the radio right now. Cuffit is a strange one for me. It's one that I just find myself just skipping over. I'm just not that interested in it. If it came out maybe 10 years ago, might have felt differently about it, but it did feel like a way for her to collaborate with Nile Rodgers, which I guess just felt overdue at this stage. I agree with you on that. What are some of your favorite moments on it?
I just want to continue that thought and just say, you know, in the same way that I like a lot of the clubby stuff. I do like a lot of the clubby stuff. I think it works really well. I think the people that Beyonce, and we've talked about this before in terms of like, we've actually talked about it with Kanye as a creative producer, someone who brings people together, a connector of people, and how it's so fascinating to listen to albums like this when there's so many people involved, not in a negative way, but just because you can hear different ideas being pulled in, and it's kind of like this massive project that happens, and there's something really interesting, the alchemy about those kind of projects are really interesting. But what that usually means is when there's so many people involved is that like you get a co-write track with Drake, Heated, which sounds like a Drake song. And he's obviously been doing a bit more the house and Jersey club kind of influenced music on Honestly Nevermind, his recent album. And the whole OVO team are present on that song, Heated. You've got All Up In Your Mind, which is kind of more like a A.G. Cook produced track, which is a kind of hyper poppy stuff. Then the kind of Plastic Off the Sofa, a much more jazzy vocal anyway, and certainly a bit softer instrumentation. I do really like when it is kind of like the club tracks. I think they work really well. But like I said, Beyonce is always going to like filter everything into her own style. There's plenty of kind of trap and rap here. There's plenty of that kind of stuff. Like if you, on one of the tracks, she says, "On my MPC making disco trap." And that's kind of what a lot of this album sounds like. It is, it does fit that kind of mold. It's very much like it's rapping, it's beats, it's New Orleans bounce music as well. It's undeniably like, it's hard to escape those kind of references if you're familiar with them. And even if you're not, you can recognize those sounds that are kind of all over this record, especially with the beats, especially, and a lot of the samples. Now, there is a lot of samples on this album, and we will talk about some of the more, less well-known ones probably in a bit. But I love tracks like Cozy, Alien Superstar. Like Church Girl wouldn't be my favorite, but it is interesting the way that it kind of is. Here's the gospel-y one, but it also brings in elements of that kind of bounce stuff as well, which I think is really interesting. Mm. Pure and Honey and Summer Renaissance, obviously sampling I Feel Love, of course, by Donna Summer and Giorgio Moroder. It's really interesting to hear somebody like Beyonce do that song. An iconic track, one that is totally, you know, like probably one of the best songs of all time. And I think it's really interesting when somebody like Beyonce interpolates that and does something interesting with it. And, you know, I'm never mad when a good song is sampled, really. And I think it's really interesting. And then, of course, like Grace Jones is on this as well. Previously said she would not participate on a Beyonce album or anything like of the sort, but seems to have softened her tune the last few years. She is on Move, which is very much like a club entrance kind of song. Let me play a bit of Move, actually, here.
Girlfriends, okay.
So Beyonce, again, like we've talked before about like her rapping as well, and she's really doing a lot more of that. Her vocals are at their best. She's only getting better, I think, in terms of her range and her what she can do with her voice. Like I said, Plastic Off the Sofa, very jazzy kind of vocals going on there. There's a lot of ad libs and stuff, but she is well able to do whatever she wants here. Spoken word, rap, singing, whatever it is, she does it in her own style and she does it like no one else.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with everything there. I mean, particularly on her vocals throughout this record, I think this is definitely the most vocally diverse we've heard her be on a record. We already know, and we've known for a very, very long time, that she can sing. Fully agree that she's only getting better. And as a live performer, she's basically unmatched. I remember one of the earliest things I remember about Beyonce was seeing just a little piece on MTV, or it might have been TRL or something, about how she trains for her live shows and that she does her vocal exercises on a treadmill so that she's able to like move and exert herself a lot while still being able to sing. And it's one of the earliest memories I have of seeing anything about how Beyonce kind of, you know, about her behind the scenes sort of training. And since then, I've always thought about her as a singer, as just being one of the most, I mean, talented, yes, but very, very hardworking, very committed to using her voice well. And I think on this album, we do really hear her let go and let loose, try on different sounds. She's rapping a lot more. She's speaking a lot more. She's putting in little whoops and yelps, and she's trying on these different voices, and they work for her, I think. I think she sounds great vocally all across this record, particularly alongside Grace Jones. I think the two of their voices together on that track just sound just really cool and slick, and I love that. I really love that. Yeah, surprisingly enough, I'm also much more of a fan of the more upbeat, heavily club focused songs on this record. Unlike you, though, I love Church Girl. I'm a really big fan of that song. I think it's probably, it might be the most playful, and I like the juxtaposition of, you know, good church girls and getting down and dirty in the club. But also there's a sense that, you know, the kind of dancing that these girls are doing, that she's describing, that there is nothing inherently unholy about that. And there's something in it. I think there's some kind of commentary about Black women's bodies in particular, and about how they are sexualized, especially when dancing, by people looking at them, when all they're doing is just moving their bodies in a joyful way to music. And I like that kind of juxtaposition between the kind of, you know, the heavy Christianity of going to church every Sunday and being a good girl and what that means for a Black woman's body or a Black girl's body, and then just letting go and dancing, which can also be, I guess, you know, a holy thing if you go in for all that stuff. So yeah, I do really, really like that that track. And I think overall, I do feel pretty positively about this album in terms of how it sounds. I think it is a brilliantly produced album. There are some, you know, vocal harmony moments, I think particularly on Alien Superstar and on the last track, Summer Renaissance, that are genuinely euphoric. You know, they do tap into that dance floor feeling of euphoria, where everything seems to click into place, everything is interlocked, everything is happening at the right time, and you can really let yourself go. And I think she interprets that really well with her vocals. This album is, you know, structured to reflect time dancing on a dance floor. There's a little bit of time for you to kind of, you know, chill and have a break, go and get a drink or whatever, and then come back and end, obviously, with the Donna Summer I Feel Love moment. And I like how it's paced. It's a really strong ending, and I like how it's paced, and I like that Donna Summer is is interpolated at the end. Just for anyone who doesn't know, there's a lot of talk about interpolation versus sampling around this album. And just in case anybody doesn't know, interpolation is basically taking the melody of a song, or taking the bones of a song and you as the artist performing it, versus sampling means actually taking, you know, the music itself and working around it. There are different copyright laws behind those two things. I think I spoke a bit about it on the Taylor Swift episode around the kind of the complicated copyright laws around that. But needless to say, it's a lot easier to clear interpolations than it is sampling. So if you're interested in that, maybe listen to the Taylor Swift episode. But also, it's just very interesting to look into in terms of music copyright law. So there is a lot of interpolation on this record, which I think is largely warranted. Yeah, those are all my positive feelings, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not that I have negative feelings per se, but I think
they're not readily identifiable, maybe.
I've been struggling a bit with I've been going through something, as Kendrick might say, with Beyoncé. And I think it has to do with a few different things. One is how I've changed as a listener since her last big release, which was Lemonade. And the other is to do with wealth, I guess, which is probably not surprising given that, you know, I've spoken about my issues with Break My Soul on this podcast already. But I think you can't avoid the kind of the anti-capitalist sentiment of a song like Break My Soul, which, as I've said before, is an issue considering her wealth, considering that she recently crossed a worker's picket to host a Grammys party. And I think listening to this record, across the record, there is, I think, a sort of a hypocritical consumerist capitalist message elsewhere. She mentioned the brands Telfar and Birkin.
Yeah.
In Summer Renaissance.
There's
and
a lot
that
of
caused
name drops here for labels, isn't there?
Yeah. But her mentioning those two bags caused the searches for their names to like have a sharp spike in like the Google Trends, and also on bag rental sites and on secondhand bag sites, right? So, you know, this people who can't afford to buy these bags, like Beyoncé, are hearing that and thinking, oh, I could rent them. And hey, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Rent your bags. In fact, do rent them because it's better for the environment. But that to me is interesting, right? That is the effect that Beyoncé can have in terms of her role as a kind of a consumerist influencer. Like, this is a woman who has done Tiffany campaigns, right? She doesn't need to buy her own jewels or her own designer handbags or her own diamonds. You know, her status as an influential billionaire affords her the luxury that she plays with on this record. It affords her the luxury of being able to have 8, 9, 10 different songwriters credited on a song, so that they can all get paid. I think I wouldn't care about any of that. Beyoncé's always been very capitalist. Her brand of feminism has always been within that world. Being an independent woman, or, you know, women running the world, all of these things, this has always been part of her. But I guess my problem is that when you are paying homage to queer ballroom culture, particularly in the 80s, which is a culture that was mostly made up of working class queer people, people who were culturally and economically oppressed, it makes it more difficult for me to hear lyrics like, it should cost a billion to look this good, coming from her, given that she has a billion to look that good, but she doesn't even have to spend it. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's her performing in the tone of queer ballroom culture is jarring, because while that style, while that sense of opulence, while that kind of, you know, dressing up and references to designers and to wealth and to opulence is very much part of that, coming from Beyoncé, it's different because she is part of that culture. She is a billionaire, you know, she's part of that. So that just, it does jar a little bit with me. And yeah, you can say it's all in good fun or it's all in the tone, but it, like, should a capitalist like Beyoncé be making anti-capitalist music? Is that complicated further when it's done through homage to a particularly historically vulnerable community? And is Beyoncé really the person that is best placed to speak on pleasure activism, given its history with kind of marginalized and oppressed groups? Like she's got lines that are, it's not the diamonds, it's not the pearls, I'm that girl. Okay, fine, but you still have the diamonds and the pearls, right? Like, what exactly does that mean coming from Beyoncé? Like, even her description of the pride flag, you know, she goes through every color of the pride flag on Cozy. Even that references yellow diamonds and couture gowns. And I'm like, Beyoncé, like, there are other ways. There are other things in the world that you can reference. There are even interesting ways to explore opulence without actually
just like name checking, because that was actually the first
thing. Well, just name checking.
I noticed on listening to the album the very first day when I was driving down to, was it All Together Now? And I was like, God, there's a lot of fucking drops and name drops of fashion brands. And it's like, I know there always has been, but like, it just felt like a roll call.
But it's different here, right? It's different because of what she's
talking about, the kind of culture it's supposed to be representing. Yeah. So,
yeah. It's because she's, you know, she's this is her, this is the, like, I think with every album, with every Beyoncé album, there's been a sense that she is playing, you know, a character within that album. She's very rarely extremely personal. I guess the closest we got to that was Lemonade. But even still, that was still a kind of a Black music history lesson. Like, a lot of what she's done in the past has been, she is a music historian, she is a collector, she is a crate digger, and that's fully apparent on this record. Like, it's not new. She alluded to kind of 1960s Black stars on her debut record. On B-Day, it was the 70s. It was Black college marching bands on Homecoming. And her, as, you know, this student of Black musical history, you know, people have been pointing that out for a while. And she is definitely well-placed to bring these histories into the mainstream, if that is the intention. But I think Renaissance being her most overtly historical record to date, it works because it rewards people who have an understanding of that history, and it invites people who don't have an understanding of that history to investigate it further. But where I think there's a little bit of criticism that you can level at it is that she does these things through character. And if she is playing the character of somebody who is, you know, embracing pleasure activism, who is in the club, who is part of queer ballroom culture in the 1980s, who is, you know, who is oppressed, who is working 9 to 5, all of these things, that to me is different than her playing the character of a 1960s starlet or a 1970s starlet or whatever that might be. It is a community that she is both within and outside. You know, it's part of Black musical history in America. So, you know, this is, it's part of her remit to investigate and explore that, but it's also not part of her history. She's not, as far as we know, a queer woman. She doesn't, you know, belong to these spaces. And from what I've seen, these, like, people in these spaces have embraced this, but it's just if there was a few less references to handbags and to diamonds and to expensive champagne and to her being a billionaire, and just the like the overwhelming wealth references. I think I would enjoy it a bit more. Just every time she has one, I just think, okay. Like,
yeah, I mean, you're constantly distancing yourself from your listeners in that regard.
You yeah, know, or like, you're dressing up as someone who is interacting with wealth and opulence in a way that is camp, in a way that is coming from a working class perspective. And but her doing that as a person of wealth and opulence just feels strange. I'm like, there's just something that doesn't connect there for me. And I know Beyonce is here to give us the anthems, right? She's there. Like, and I've been such a fucking white girl about Beyonce since the beginning, you know, Single Ladies, hurrah, like Who Run the World. I get that a lot of her political statements in her music is pretty surface level, but here there is an attempt to really, really, really go deep into an aspect of Black musical history in America that is underrepresented and often misrepresented and misappropriated by white queer culture. And she does such a good job of it that the fact that she just misses on that wealth thing is so much more disappointing to me. That there is this economic cultural blind spot that comes from being a billionaire that just causes you to completely misread the intersection between the culture that you're trying to represent and you as an inherent oppressor of that culture. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And that's what's bothering me.
Well, I can give you...
they're still bops, but...
Yeah. I mean, like we talked last week, we won't go too much into it, about the Khalees milkshake sample and how...
That thing is constantly unfolding. I don't even know what to think anymore. Jesus.
Well, it seems
I can't keep up with it.
Khalees, for anyone who doesn't know, Khalees' milkshake was used or interpolated, maybe, or a beat was used in the song.
Well, it's gone now.
Yeah, it was in Energy. It's now no longer there, but I don't really know what. Oh, sorry, it was in. Yeah, am I right?
It was in Energy. And it was.
And it's really hard to tell.
It was an interpolation.
It's very difficult to hear it, but it is what it is. It is the Neptunes, and they were apparently gave their blessing. But this goes back to a historical thing with Khalees and the Neptunes, where they agreed to give her songwriting credits and publishing royalties, but they never did, I think. And I think that's what it all comes back to ultimately. A bad, not even deal, perhaps, but just something that never happened, or a way that Khalees as a Black woman got shafted, and here she is again in a way going, well, this is nothing new. I'm not being credited because, you know, this is the way the deal was set up. So I'm not even part of the, conversation, even though it's my name on the track. So anyway, the song is now been removed as well. And it's just like the other misstep she had with Heated as well, using an ableist slur, ableist language in.
So surprising that,
and especially that the it was really after, like
a fucking week ago or whenever it was with Lizzo. Like, come on, and like, it's not like Lizzo's not also a global superstar. Like, that had to come across something, like, if not Beyonce's desk, someone's desk.
Beyonce has to thousands of people email worked in the record and ask them to put in a contact support and be like, "Hi, I'll wait 2 days for a response." And it's like, actually, I need to change that track, and like, okay, I have to wait 4 days. It's like, somebody can do this for her in an instant. So,
ridiculous,
like, that it took her. Again, a misstep. I think it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, that there's definitely issues there. I think, as we said, musically, I feel like this really does pay homage to what it is trying to do, because it uses these very deep samples. Okay, obviously, you know, Summer Renaissance is a great track, and it uses one of the most, like, a very popular song, but it does it in a really good way.
I agree. I think it's not lazy.
No, it's not lazy. It's
really
fun.
Good.
It would be so easy to just get the instrumental for I Feel Love and just stick and have Beyonce singing over it, riffing over it, but it doesn't do that. It does something more interesting than that, and I think that's really good. Let's have a listen actually to Summer Renaissance then, and and have a listen. Here's the sample, actually. I'll start with this because I'm going to delve into the samples a bit now. So here is I Feel Love, Donna Summer, coming into Summer Renaissance. So that is obviously Summer Renaissance and the original there, I Feel Love by Donna Summer and Giorgio Moroder. It does it really well. It's the last track on the album, track 16. Interestingly, I guess this, did you hear the remix that came out maybe yesterday or the day before? The Queen's remix of Break My Soul? Interestingly, it is basically a mashup kind of remix with Madonna's Vogue.
This is the Vogue one.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because it is like, here is the two most foremost examples of mainstream pop culture referencing or plundering ballroom culture, and we have the two of them. They released a mashup of the two of them, like the two most obvious things. So here we go. This is the one that just came out. You ain't that outside. Worldwide hoodie with the mask outside. In case you forgot how we act outside. Strike the pose. Love, die, hate him. Oh. Queen Mother, Madonna, Aaliyah. Oh. Rosetta Tharpe, Santi Gold, Bessie Smith, Nina Simone, oh. Betty Davis, Solange Knowles, Fatou Bissell, Kelly Rowe, Lauryn Hill. So as you can hear there, the Beyonce does reference some very prominent black artists as well there in that remix. That is the Queen's remix, which
a real course correction for that song, I think. Like, very obviously Vogue is also just one of the most iconic songs of all time, but yeah, I mean, if it came out today,
yeah, it would be a problem.
Reference the do you hear my cat screaming?
Oh, no.
No.
Sorry. yeah, a course correction, you know, an homage or a nod to the fact that black women are also important to this particular genre, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and Lizzo is mentioned in that. Lauryn Hill, as you mentioned, Grace Jones.
Grace Jones
mentioned twice, just because. Santi Gold as well, which is a nice addition. And then it is there anyway. I think that's kind of like the speaks to a little bit of the kind of queasiness of that when you kind of divorce what the actual culture of that music is away. So you're having two massive artists not having a conversation with the music that they actually are claiming to lift in a way. So, but most of the time on this album, there is lots, and there's tracks that are sampled here that are just, they're deep cuts, you know, they're deep, deep cuts. So if you look at it,
I'm excited to hear about these.
Yeah. So let's take Cozy first, because there's lots of house references on this. Also, track 2 and 3 are feature production by Honey Dijon, a black trans house artist who has been doing very well for a long time now. But it is definitely the first time that Honey Dijon has got the nod in terms of other than, well, was did a remix for Dua Lipa as well. So that is interesting because has never worked with a Beyonce level before. And also Green Velvet, who a lot of people would know as one of the Chicago House producers. He had tracks like Camera and oh God, they're great. I remember hearing that kind of like really funny, kind of silly music at the time. I thought when I was 15 or 16, and just loving the singles and that kind of stuff. The Percolators, the other one was Cashmere he released. So Cashmere and Green Velvet, all that kind of stuff was really, La La Land was another one about taking too many drugs and just, yeah, fun and kind of like almost basic and in a way, like really fun ways to get into that kind of dance music for me. So here we have a few samples that presumably those people have pulled out of their record bags as well. So we're talking like early 90s kind of dance stuff as well. There's a track called Lydell Townsend MTF called Get With You that's sampled here. Let's have a listen to that. And here's the cozy use of that Zach track. It's a reminder. So yeah, those are very much like they're small uses of those samples. They're not big marquee versions like I Feel Love. They don't not easily recognizable. They're most Chicago House artists. There's another sample in Cozy that leads and is also used in Alien Superstar, which is by Danube Dance, and the track is called Unique, and it's referenced in the vocals as well. Unique, that's what you are. I'm walking on the stars. Unique is what you seek. Unique. Unique. One of a kind. Unique. Your mind. Unique. How contradicted. Keep him addicted. Lies on his lips. I lick it. Unique.
The vocals in that bit are incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just Beyonce's vocals in the That's What You Are. I have no idea how many layers of vocals she has on that, but it's like, it gives me like a little shiver. I'm like, oh, it's so good. That's my favorite song on the record, by the way. I think Alien Superstar is one of the songs of the year.
Well, there's a few more samples so good. On it as well. There's a few more songs.
Yeah, there's bloody loads of them. I think it's the song with the most songwriters on it. If you look at the credits, it's the song with the most amount of credits on it.
A 20-minute speech about the outro. Yeah, we dress certainly, we walk certainly, we talk a certain way.
Yeah.
And that is Barbara Ann Tear. It's a speech called Black Theater, which is also sampled in another house track recently. But I think they actually went to the original as well. But yeah, Lucky Day, 07 O'Shea, Labyrinth, and Jay-Z are all credited on this as well. There is this sample as well, which is, I love the way it comes in on the track. This is the Foremost Poets' 1998 track called Moonraker, New York artist.
Please do not be alarmed. Remain calm. Do not attempt to leave the dance floor. The DJ booth is conducting a troubleshoot test of the entire system. Somehow, while the party was in progress, an unidentified frequency has been existing in the system for some time. And while many of you have been made too brainwashed to comprehend, this frequency is and has become a threat to our society as we know it. This frequency has been used by a secret society in conjunction with Lucifer to lure and prey on innocent partygoers with hypnotism, synchropism. Please do not be alarmed, remain calm. Do not attempt to leave the dance floor. The DJ booth is conducting a troubleshoot test of the entire system.
I'm one of one. I'm number one. I'm the only one. Don't even waste your time trying to compare.
My toxic trait is that I think all dance music should sound like that. I think that's what it should sound like. I love
There's
it
plenty
so much.
Of it. I've been making a playlist for Patreon, actually, and I haven't finished it yet, but it's drawn mostly from very much like hip house, like the hip hop version of house music and all of the acts that were making stuff around that time. And I don't want to be, I don't think I'm going to, I think it's okay to have a playlist that just has 20 songs on it or like less. Cause sometimes you kind of I should make a playlist with like 50 songs. No, I'm just going to actually make 20 and leave it at that. So once I finish that, I think
there's absolutely something to be said for brevity in a playlist.
Yeah. I was only thinking about this last week. I was like, need to do more shorter playlists. Cause like, why not? Like, you don't need to have,
I think 20 songs is perfect. For a playlist. Yeah. I really do.
Well, I've got 13 that I'm happy with. I'm going to get a few more and then I'll put that on Patreon then. Patreon.com/99 for that. And then obviously the most famous one in this track is, unfortunately, like I was actually listening to this song last night and gone, it's a pity that their right wing sympathizers are people, because this Right Said Fred song I'm Too Sexy is due a comeback, because it has been Taylor Swift and Future have both referenced this song or used this song or interplayed this song recently, and so here we are again. But I think Beyonce does it better. She does it, I'm too classy for this world, forever I'm that girl. Let's hear that.
I'm too sexy for my shirt, too sexy for my shirt, so sexy it hurts.
I'm the bar, alien superstar. Whip, whip. I'm too classy for this world. Forever, I'm that girl. Beat you diamonds and pearls. Oh, baby, I'm too classy to be touched. I paint them all in dust. I'm still
there you go. Like I'm levitating above the dance floor at that stage. Like I've ascended into a higher plane if I hear this song out. Like, really love that. Yeah, so much better than Right Said Fred. That song was very popular when I was like young, like
yeah,
a child.
It's a joke song. It's a joke song.
Yeah,
and
like, but I was always like, I don't really know what sexy means, but I know that the adults think it's funny and they don't want me to know what it is.
Okay,
so I just was like, it's so uncomfortable with it, and it's remained that way. I still can't really listen to that song because I always knew that it was like a slightly bold song or something. Done Beyonce for turning it into like probably the most melodically beautiful moment on the album, being a Right Said Fred interpolation. Only her, you know, to be fair to her.
Lovely. Well, let's move to your song that you like, Church Girl, which has a number of samples. Now, it does have a...
Love. The opening sample on this is one of my favorite moments on the record.
This is
very
the
early
Clark
Kanye
Sisters,
or something.
Mm. Center of My Will. Let's hear a bit of that. This is, the Clark Sisters. Lovely way of using
the best
that track.
Moment, I think, on the record. that's stunning.
It's great. The Clark Sisters were a Detroit-based gospel sisters, five of them overall. They've had a number of, they were inducted into some sort of Hall of Fame recently for recognition of their work. I think Jay-Z actually sampled them as well in Family Feud. Hey Ya, Eternal Life, that was an amazing song. Listen to Hey Ya, Eternal Life by the Clark Sisters. Oh my God, what a song. I'm going to send it to you now if you haven't heard it. And Sweet. This is after for your treat after we finish this. That is yeah, great song.
Yeah, I have a feeling I'm gonna get really, really into that gospel band from this record, and I'll probably listen to them more than I'll listen to Renaissance. But hey, that's, you know, I'm being educated in black musical history in America. So
well, that's it. And that's what I love about music. I love sampling as well. I love that you get to discover things, or things are laser pointed and uplifted and illuminated, and stuff that, you know, was just existing on YouTube as well. Like there is, you know, there is the first song on the record does a sample a YouTube speech as well. So, you know, there is, the second track, Cozy, does do that as well. So there are those kind of things that are happening there. And this is another one. This is a guy called DJ Jimmy, and Where Are They At? And this is also sampled on a Church Girl as well. Let's hear that.
It must be the pussy, cause it ain't your face. It must be the pussy, cause it ain't your face. It must be the pussy, cause it ain't your face. It must be the pussy, cause it ain't your face.
Pussy acting up, I see them bright sweats. I see a blank check. It must be the cash, cause it ain't your face. It must be the cash, cause it ain't your face. Now do it, baby.
Sorry, as we were discussing more interpolated there than anything else, but and there's also a Lynn Collins sample on that, which I didn't line up here, which is also on that track. That is a kind of an old soulful song from funk song from 1972. And then finally, you heard a little bit of it there, but there's kind of a synth line there which you can hear. So this is from a song called Trigger Man by the Show Boys. Let's hear this. Drag Rap.
You are about to hear are true. MC's names have been changed to protect the innocent. The innocent. The innocent.
Go shake them thighs and them pretty jiggle bitties. Forget your racks up. Get your math up. I'ma back it up. Back it, back it up. I'ma bust it, bust it, bust it, bust it, back it up.
Oh, I cut that off very quickly. Yeah, that that was also sampled. That's Trigger Man, and it is a drum loop that's been used a lot. Drag Rap, a bounce, very much a New Orleans or like a bounce music staple as well, and has been used in sampled a lot of hip hop recently, including Drake's Nice For What and In My Feelings, along with Lil Wayne's Ball as well. So it's a track that's getting a lot of use as well. So it's been used here, and certainly there's a lot of bounce music been used on Renaissance as well. Let's move to one maybe this is a good example. I think this is so everyone, when the track listing was released, people were like, oh, America has a problem. Ooh, is Beyonce going to do her, like, is gonna finally,
but this is America moment.
Yeah, it's not that, because if you're wondering what the answer to the question of America has a problem is, if you know what she's talking about, the answer is cocaine, because it samples a song called Kilo Ali, Cocaine, America Has a Problem. And this is what it sounds like.
America, America, America has a problem.
America has a problem. Heard you got that deep for me. Pray love is deep for me.
That's another song from the early 90s, which very much a Miami influence track as well, a lot of Miami bass. It's actually a track out of Atlanta. I think it's 1919 specifically. And there are some of those references on the lyrics as well, which Tick is the song that she referenced. That's that moon Miami bass, 12 in the trunk, 808. There is that those references in there as well. Oh, actually, sorry. Before that, I wanted to include that. So America has a problem. You can hear a little bit of it there. There's this kind of bass technique from the late 80s, which was used by, so Kevin Saunderson, a famous producer, a US house producer,
I think I was actually at a talk of his a few number of years ago in Berlin, which I think may have referenced on his podcast. Anyway, along with Derek May and people like that, they actually were all in the same high school. Juan Atkins, Derek May, they all made this kind of music. I went on to do the likes of Inner City, Good Life, stuff like that. Then, but Respace is a technique essentially used by a lot of Kevin Saunderson's music. It's just the way that the bass sounds, and it sounds like this. You can hear this a number of times throughout the album as well. So that is the track from Reese, which is one of the pseudonyms that he released music as. That is a song from Kevin Saunderson. So 1988, that was... So that kind of stuff became very influential. The Reese bassline is what it's called. You can hear it a number of times on the album as well. And I just thought that was an interesting aside to that. Then Pure and Honey, let's finish with that, because there's a few different versions and things on this. And I think this is probably the most obvious kind of drag and ballroom kind of track on this, right? So it's kind of the one that feels like lyrically maybe the most we're having a ball show, we're doing a whole thing. There's I feel like there could be a video to this as well. Now, one of the references, and I'm not sure 100% if it's actually sampled, but I keep seeing it listed in a few different places, but not everywhere. So again, Mr. Fingers, a track called Mystery of Love, another very early kind of proto house music, deep house music track from Larry Heard, who's been around since the like late 80s house music and is still obviously one of the most influential artists around. He makes music as Larry Heard sometimes, but also as Mr. Fingers. So this is a Mr. Fingers track. And I think Mr. Fingers was sampled by Kanye and stuff as well recently. So this is Mystery of Love. So yeah, actually, that song is not the same one that was sampled by Kanye. That was Can You Feel It, but they are very similar, and you hear a lot of... There is people who say that on Pure and Honey, that track is sampled. I don't think it's sampled. I think it just sounds a little bit like it. And less, more to the point, that's just exactly what it sounds like. It's that kind of vibe. But I definitely don't hear the same thing. So let's hear... There's a few different kind of chopped versions of tracks here, and these are the most overt kind of ballroom and drag tracks. So there's one called Forget Any Children Around. Conti is the name of the track, and it's Kevin Aviance. So this is Kevin Aviance is a drag queen from New York, and this is a house single that they released.
Cut, tea, 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 cut, tea feminine away. Cut to the feminine away. Cut to the feminine away. Cut to the feminine away.
So you can see that, you can hear there, the it was a bit long, but you can hear the that kind of bass, re-space coming in there, and then that song is kind of caught up a lot. And then this one as well from Mike Q, this is a ballroom DJ known for appearing on the HBO Max TV show Legendary as well, a 2011 song. This is featuring Kevin Jay-Z, Prodigy, Feels Like, which is interesting. So yeah, that is probably the most, this is the most overt sample, this third version, which is comes towards the end of the track, which in the only portion of the song.
I feel like the Cha-Cha side owes that song a credit.
Yeah, maybe.
there's a bit where it's like cunt, 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 which is the same as Cha-Cha real smooth.
yeah,
get on that.
Yeah, that's what's
credit
the
where credit's due.
What year is the Cha-Cha slide? I think it was maybe before, so it could be the other way around.
Oh,
Cha-Cha slide is actually to the year 2000. You know that?
Was it the year 2000?
Yeah, and we I can't believe it was
only 10 years ago.
Liar. So this is the final sample we're going to use, and this is the most overt one. It comes towards the end of Honey, as you might know, if you're wondering where it comes from, because certainly I was when I first heard this track. I was like, there's somebody, I can almost see somebody voguing when this is happening, this kind of ad-libbing. It's the Honey bit in Honey. Moi Renée is, and Miss Honey is the track that it samples.
Miss Honey, 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 Miss Honey. Don't you hear me calling you Miss Honey? I know you hear me calling you Miss Honey. The bitch knew that I'd be back. She knew that I would not gone long.
Switch
click. Honey, Miss 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 Honey,
Honey, Honey. So there you go. That is Moi Renée, Miss Honey, and obviously, you know, the one that I'm still not 100% sure on is Robin S. Show Me Love. Is it actually sampled on Break My Soul, or they just sound like it is? I'm not sure 100% yet, but the credit is there as a preemptive reason. So yeah, as you can hear, there's plenty of especially house and bounce and drag and ballroom related tracks in there. So lots on Renaissance there, and I think it's really used really well, and used mostly very subtle, in a subtle way. And I think that's, I mean, it's done really well. And obviously, there's other samples in there, like Tina Marie's Ooh La La, which is also an interpolation used in the Fugees' Fuji La as well. There's a sample on I'm That Girl from a Memphis rapper called Tommy Wright III, which kind of introduces the album. Like I said, there is always those kind of things with Beyoncé where you're like, well, that's filtered through her own style. And I'm really enjoying the album. I'm not listening to it.
I had a feeling you would when I was listening to it. I was thinking of you, and I was like, there's so, like, I know that one of your hobbies is going and finding what the samples are on a given record. And I was like, Niall will be busy now. Niall will be scurrying off into the depths of his house music crates of records and using all your knowledge of of house music history, and pulling these things out very excitedly. So I was very excited for you, and thank you for sharing all of that with those.
Yeah, it's a nice way to
struggle to do that.
Yeah, it's a nice way to like experience the record as well, you know. And I love that. I remember like recently with the For Those I Love record, there's so many good samples on that, and so many.
Yeah,
it's an interesting way to. Like, it's like the lyrics, there's music, but then there's all the references as well, and obviously the lyrical references, but you know, song references and samples are a whole other bag, whole other dimension sometimes, and depends how people use them. There's not a lot of usage here in terms of like it being used to underscore a point or a particular sentiment, but it's more the vibe of it. And it is interesting that, yeah, whatever. I mean, I don't think Drake's doing it in quite the same way, but like, yeah, that a lot of people are turning to this music, and I think we're going to see more of this because it is still, like we said, I was just thinking about that video during the week of do you remember a few years ago, maybe it was Coachella or something, some like YouTuber, and she's like, and I went to this gig and it was this guy called, and it was these guys called Aphex Twins, and, you know, like that's the depth of
I love her
yeah, the EDM, like the EDM vibe. It's not EDM EDM like,
yeah,
EDM
the sense in by a lot of American people that electronic music and house music in particular is a European thing,
yeah, which is just so wrong.
It's always very interesting. Yeah, it's so misplaced. Yeah, I mean, I think we are definitely going to get more of this, because there is a sort of a economic index thing that suggests that house music and dance music becomes more popular and becomes the zeitgeist music of the day when we're on the brink of or in a recession or some kind of economic downturn, which I just, ever since I've kind of learned about that, I've just been so fascinated by it. I mean, it makes sense. It makes complete sense. And so even how Beyonce, but even how Beyonce has kind of spoken about this record, right? It is interesting as a, you know, a means of escape for her over the past 3 years, recording it, escaping, obviously not only the pandemic, but yes, the pandemic, which she would have experienced in a very, very different way to the rest of us. But also the civil rights issues that came up during that time as well, and are obviously still ongoing. And now the sort of there was also the election in the States, and now there is the economic impact of a war in Europe, and also you know, reckoning with COVID-19, and you know, the dreaded cost of living crisis as well. So like, I do find it very interesting that the our roaring 20s that we were all looking forward to, in terms of popular music, it does seem to be, you know, coming into play. It is pretty much what we expected to happen, which would be a move towards escapism. And, you know, there's a lot of use of the word unapologetic about this album and albums like it, and dance floors and forgetting your troubles, and obviously, you know, quitting your job and all of that stuff, this kind of this fantasy world in which you don't have to worry about money and so on, which is, yeah, that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch as we do kind of sink further into economic despair. But
can't wait,
I just
babes.
Think that's, I just think it's interesting, and I mean where did I read a piece about that? Might have been on Vox or something, but I mean, just yeah, type into Google like house music and recession, and you know, loads of articles will come up about the correlation between the popularity of house music and economic struggle, but. It's very, very interesting to watch. It's very, very interesting. And even if you look back at like the music that was popular in 2008, in our last big recession, you can see that it was dance music. Like it was big bangers. So yeah, I think it's going to be this for a while, and it is going to be this escapist thing. But what's interesting about what Beyonce is doing is that she, I guess, has taken, the escapism she's representing it in a different way. And I guess she's doing it within a particularly black space and a particularly queer space, which are the communities that were in America, you know, probably most affected in the past, you know, couple of years during the pandemic and so on. So yeah, there's definitely a new lens that's being explored in terms of the escapist recession music that we have seen over and over again. But yeah, this is definitely like the roaring 20s has arrived in terms of pop music now with Renaissance. It's been teased by quite a few artists, mostly female. Drake did it, you know, fine. But mostly female artists taking a turn for the disco, which is, yeah, fair enough.
Great. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing it and whatever happens. That's it for us this week. We'll be back next week. Possibly talking more about some dance, classic dance music as well. We'll see how that goes. But you'll have to tune in next week to find out. That's it now. I'm getting out of this hot room and I presume you are too.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm just going to go and sit in my freezer until next week.
Yeah.
So I'll be there for the next 7 days or so.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. I've been Niall Byrne, aka 909, and you've been
Andrea Cleary, aka Cunty.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.